trade deadline coming up in Major League Baseball, so who better to break it down than an MLB Network insider? Also, of course, with the NHL Network. Good friend of the program, MLB Network, has the Hank Aaron Invitational at Atlanta's Truist Park this Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern, plus wall-to-wall trade deadline programming Monday and Tuesday, which, of course, John Morosi will be all over. John, it is so good to have you on the program. How are you?
Jim, my friend, always love our conversations, especially at this time of year. We've got great storylines all around Major League Baseball, and always honored to be speaking with you here on a Friday afternoon.
Always great to have you on the show, John, for that very reason. Let's not waste any time. You and I have spent so much time over the last few years trying to kind of put into words what we've seen from Shohei Ohtani. Knowing how transcendent he is, John, what is your reaction now that his name has actually come up in trade reports?
Well, Jim, it's really both unprecedented and disappointing, I think, for the Los Angeles Angels because of where they're at right now as an organization. You see Mike Trout, of course, having the back issues, which who knows what that's going to mean for his future. And I think it's apparent to me, whether he's vocalized it directly to ownership or not, that the current situation has become frustrating for Shohei Ohtani. And I think that's where ownership has to consider the possibility of trading him now, because this is not a scenario, Jim, that I could envision Shohei Ohtani wanting to sign with the Angels long term, with just now a year and a half left on his contract before free agency. The one main reason to keep him, I guess there's obviously a couple main reasons. Number one is he's the best player in the world all around. But number two, so many of the Angels' commercial interests, business-wise, marketing, advertising, it's all linked to their most marketable player, who right now, honestly, is not Mike Trout. It is Shohei Ohtani. So to have to tell your advertisers, hey, you know, we just traded away our most marketable star and Mike Trout's got a back issue, it's hard from a business standpoint. So I will still be a little bit surprised, Jim, if a trade happens in the next 72 hours, but the mere possibility, as you raise that idea, it is just staggering, and I think just speaks to the quandary that the Angels are in right now.
John Morosi joining us. John, there's a question that you yourself raised that I'd like to turn around on you because it's so interesting. If you were giving up a lot in a trade right now, which would you rather have? Ohtani for the rest of this year and next year, or Juan Soto for the rest of this year and then two more years?
Jim, that is an excellent question. That is one of the great questions in baseball right now, and you have touched on it. I would say this, that in some level it sort of depends on what your needs are, but I love the fact that if you get Ohtani for the next two pennant races, you're addressing two needs with one player, right? How many teams, whether it's the Dodgers or anybody else, would say to you, hey, we're looking for a bat or an arm, whichever helps us the most, and here comes Ohtani addressing both needs. So for me, what Ohtani brings is just a cut above everybody else. The word of caution, of course, is that there's one, you know, he's one elbow strain away from everything sort of changing and him not being able to pitch as often as he is right now. But I would still say at the moment you look at everything he is doing, Jim, I don't know if there's a player in the world that you'd rather have on your roster than Shohei Ohtani. So I would vote for Ohtani narrowly over Soto.
John Morosi joining us. All right, John, so let's talk about some other teams. What about the Padres? They don't necessarily, John, have as much to trade as they've had in the past, but what kind of a package could the Padres put together for Soto? And if that were to possibly happen, how do you like that fit for San Diego and him?
I think it's a great fit, and obviously the Padres, we go back, Jim, a year ago. Remember, we were talking about how close the Padres were to getting Max Scherzer from the Nationals. These same teams were involved in these conversations. Nationals talking with both the Padres and the Dodgers. The Padres thought they had Scherzer. All of a sudden, everything changed, and the Dodgers got him and went on, of course, to have a great season. I look at it this way with the Padres. I think C.J. Abrams probably has to be part of that deal if they're going to bring in Juan Soto. I would also say Robert Hassel III. We saw him play in the Futures game. Tremendous outfield prospect. I think for me, Hassel and Abrams to start. I'm a little worried about Mackenzie Gore had an elbow issue this week in Detroit, and that concerns me a bit in terms of what his trade value is at the moment, given the uncertainty there. Could they build the package instead around Adrian Morejon, who has come back from Tommy John surgery and pitched very well? That's a possibility. So I do think the Padres, while you point out correctly, Jim, they don't have the same depth that they had in the past. I still think there is enough there for the Padres to be the team that gets Juan Soto.
John Morosi joining us. John, you mentioned the Dodgers. Well, you mentioned Max Scherzer. The Dodgers, of course, jumped in, ripped Scherzer and Trey Turner. Even though the Dodgers, John, already have the best record in the National League, could you see them jumping into this once again and making a serious run at Soto themselves?
Absolutely, Jim. I think if there's one thing we have learned about the Dodgers in years past, it's that we never count them out. I mean, how rare is it that a team has, I think, objectively, the greatest set of resources that any team has right now? Obviously, the Yankees have a lot, but the Dodgers have been carrying the higher payroll for a longer period of time here in recent years. Plus, what is described by many prospect experts as the best farm system in all of baseball. I mean, that combination of circumstances, Jim, so rarely happens. The Dodgers are so deep, so good. You've got to credit their scouting director, Billy Gasparino, farm director, Will Rimes, for building up this outstanding group of young players that they can trade from. So I think for me, could they get Soto? Yes. And one of the reasons why I love Soto for them is it's both the splashy move and the prudent move. Because remember, Cody Bellinger, his contract is up at the end of the year. He makes about what Soto makes right now. And so if you've decided that it's time to move on from Bellinger, and they haven't quite gotten the same level of production from Muncy this year, those are two lefty bats that are sort of on their way out. So you instead bring in Soto, lefty bat, to pair up now going forward with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman. We'll see how things happen with Trey Turner. It just fits, Jim. It's a logical move for the Dodgers, and they've got the prospects to do it. The one thing I would add is I also think for them, getting a starting pitcher would be a wise move too. And I was told recently that they've talked with the Reds about Luis Castillo. When you consider how many innings their pitchers have thrown, the uncertainty surrounding Walker Buehler, while yes, they've got the prospects to get Soto, and they may well get Juan Soto, I think pitching is just the same level of priority right now for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
John Morosi expertly breaking it all down. John, because you mentioned the Yankees, let me double back to that. They've been scuffling a little bit of late. They were swept by the Mets. Do you see them making moves before the deadline? Do you think they need to do something?
Well, they've already gotten Andrew Benintendi. That was a big deal for them, and certainly he will likely replace Joey Gallo in terms of the at-bats that Joey was getting against right-handed pitching. We all know the struggles for Gallo this year, well documented with the New York Yankees. I think on the pitching side is where I would look to it. You know, their position player group, Jim, is so good. They've added Benintendi to that group. I would be very reluctant to change too much there. They've already got a surplus of great everyday players because of LeMahieu and his versatility. So I would leave the position player mix pretty much settled now that you've brought in Benintendi. But on the pitching side, I think talking with the Cincinnati Reds, obviously I mentioned Castillo earlier, I think Tyler Mahle is one more name to watch if you're the New York Yankees. He is not the big name that Castillo is, but I've been very impressed by the way that he has pitched since the early part of June and the ERA under 3 over that time for the Reds. So I would say Castillo or Mahle. I'm a little wary of Frankie Montas and the injury history there. I would point out on a rental possibility, Martin Perez with the Texas Rangers, postseason experience, a very good season for him as a left-hander this year.
John, before I let you go, I want to ask you about the White Sox. They're kind of curious to me because they're currently 49-49. They've been a major, major disappointment this season. Do you get the sense that there are sellers in this market, or can you point to the fact that they're only 3 games out of first, so maybe they go for it?
It's the latter, Jim. I was told this morning by a source there with the White Sox, their current plan is to go for it. Being only 3 games back, as you mentioned, despite all of their inconsistency, and they have been running in third place in this division for a long time, I don't think they've been above 500 for about 6 weeks. They have been the definition of mediocrity at a time when they were supposed to be one of the very best teams in the major leagues. Now, they still have the talent. Tim Anderson is an all-star. Obviously, he's had a tremendous season offensively. I still believe that there is enough talent in this team to win the division. Both the Twins and the Guardians have their flaws. So, Jim, from where I sit, the White Sox believe they're still in this. They're not going to trade Giolito. They're not going to trade Lance Lynn. And I would not be surprised if, despite all the adversity they've faced, if they're somewhere in the playoffs by the time October arrives.
Hey, John, not to get greedy, but one last thought really quickly. Boston went from being 9 games over 500 over a month ago to 17 games out of first as of this morning. Exactly what happened to this team, and how do you expect them to approach the trade deadline?
You know, Jim, for me, it's the inconsistency of their rotation. You know, they had some good moments early, and then Eovaldi got hurt. Chris Sale never came back, and he came back, and he got hurt again quickly. They just have not had the consistency that you need to succeed in the American League East when you consider not just the Yankees, but the Rays, the Jays, and the resurgent Baltimore Orioles as well. So I think the lineup has been a little bit too reliant on their core star players, Bogarts, Devers, J.D. Martinez to an extent as well. Kike Hernandez has been injured a lot this season. I think that has hurt them certainly significantly. But I would just say they're not overall the same ball club that they were last year in the playoffs. I think they missed what Kyle Schwarber gave them, Jim. And so for me, I think it's time for them to sell. Now, there was a report last night that Xander Bogarts has been told that he's not going to be traded. And certainly he's a great player, and I understand their interest in keeping him long term. But they need to do something here to get this team in a better spot for next season, and that might end up being maybe trading J.D. Martinez here at the deadline and trying to find a way, Jim, to sign Rafael Devers long-term. He might not quite be Juan Soto, my friend, but he is really close. Devers is an elite bat.
My friend, an amazing conversation prior to the trade deadline. Once again, MLB Network has got the Hank Aaron Invitational at Atlanta's Truist Park this Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, plus wall-to-wall trade deadline programming Monday and Tuesday. John Morosi will be all over that. MLB Network Insider, NHL Network, good friend of the program. John, thank you very, very much. An amazing job by you, as always. Have an amazing weekend, and I know we'll do it again soon.
Sounds great, Jim. Have a wonderful weekend. I always look forward to our conversations. Thanks so much for the invitation. Really appreciate it.
Great to have you, John. Thanks so much. Extremely well done. Love JP. He's amazing. His dude is incredible. My thanks to John Morosi. He got you ready for the trade deadline.